purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that can be tuned in from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because amateur radio can be talked about at any other time during the week.
And to NOV, this is W2GOD, Stephen Queen, no traffic.
N210V, this is KC2FYH, no in Queens, no traffic. Good evening to the net.
This is
W2LIE, Phil, Long Island, no traffic.
NQSCR, Jim in Aberdeen, no traffic.
Okay, so far we have W2OKZ, W2GOD, H2SYH, W2LIE, and Jim, I take it you had your... sorry, is it N2SCR, is it? I don't know if I copied it down by Jim.
Sierra Charlie Romeo. N2 Sierra Charlie Romeo.
Okay, that says it can't be my own scribble with a piece of paper. Sorry about that. Okay, anything else?
This is... And when I'm all good, this is over Connecticut, so there's no traffic.
Okay, David, Jim, and when I'm all good. Alright, anybody else before we get started? Okay, once again, the email address for this net, can't get into the air, is nyzxa@yahoo.com. It's also the email address to use if you'd like to subscribe to our mailing list for any bits of information that gets out during the week. I know we used to have a monthly newsletter, but because of Bob's work schedule, he's not been able to keep up with that, so that's why we turned around and we'll send out articles and bits of information as they come about rather than saving them for a monthly blast. Currently, Bob is soliciting, and that's a way to say it on the air, he's soliciting any information on stores and shopping malls in your area. If there have been any changes from last year, please submit them. We'd wait to compile into a list and send that back out to everyone. Now, why do we do this? Well, it is November, and traditionally, the Friday after Thanksgiving is the beginning of the holiday shopping season, but as we've been finding out, a lot of retailers are pushing that back to Halloween, and I can attest to that because of people in my family who work in retail. So, if you ever find yourself having to travel to one of these emporiums, if you have a frequency list with you, we can be able to hear what's going on behind the scenes. So if you have any updates, please submit them, and we'll get the list compiled and sent back out to you as soon as possible. Okay, lately there's been a lot of questions, either on the air or on the message boards or email list, regarding federal activity in the tri-state area. And now, there's some information that is fairly common knowledge, some of it we can get our hands on. But then there are a few things that are out there that are outright mysteries that some people might have information about. I did see a comment on one of the message boards saying that they asked a question about frequency usage of one of the VHF Federal stuff on this net, and nobody had information on it, and then all of a sudden, within minutes, somebody pops up on the message board saying, well, here it is, and somebody else who lives in the area who most likely listens to this net. So my question is, if you have information, why not share it? This way we all can benefit from it, not have to spend months at a time going crazy trying to figure out what we're listening to.
QHRC, you check me in, Charlie.
Okay, Bob. I'll give you a chance to check the email. Now, we all know there are mystery stations that we're probably not going to be privy to the actual usage of, and some of it is fairly innocuous. It can't be figured out. But we have a lot of new people, especially in the past couple of years, who just purchased one of the higher-end scanners, say like Pro 96 or a Bearcat 300 handheld, something like that, that now does Astro 25, and they're starting to pick up some of these stations. So if you have some information, help me share it. If you want credit for the information, we'll gladly disclose sensitive. If you want to remain anonymous, you can do that too. And do it on the air. All we do is by email. So, as this net has always been since March of 1992, it's a shared resource that is only a reflection of those who participate. So if you want information, then bring a topic. Ask questions, provide information, and then that will entice other people to do the same thing, and you will have more traffic to your region. I just got a couple of pieces of news that's been popping along. Early this week, I sent out a copy of an article to everybody on the mailing list that Sprint has decided, after all, not to sell off Nextel. They're actually going to keep it and try to build it out. And I think that goes hand in hand with the FCC deciding that they're willing to give Nextel more time to revamp when they should have had this all done last year. So seeing the writing on the wall that nobody's willing to pay money for the Nextel system, the Sprint decided to keep it. So you have the FCC giving them more time, you have Motorola now deciding that they're going to expand their collaboration, and Sprint saying they're going to hang on to it. So this is, it could be a good thing, but as we've seen, especially during large events like the New York City Marathon we just had this past weekend, and other large-scale events throughout the area, Nextel systems tend to get bogged down when there's that much traffic going on all at once. In fact, somebody in Chicago just had something go on recently, and they had the same problem. So, let's hope that the Sprint Nextel organization decides to put more money into the infrastructure so they don't get such a busy, timed-out system all the time. One of the bits of recent news is the FCC yesterday decided that they would allow usage of what's called white space. Now, white space is referring to the unused portion of the television spectrum, especially after the changeover to digital in February of 2009. Whatever TV channels are not being used in this area would then be made available for unlicensed use for all sorts of different things. And organizations, companies like Google, are pushing real hard to have, along the lines of an ultra-wideband, high-speed alternative to connecting to the internet while you're not at home. So Google's trying it from their end to make money at it. There are people that are trying to use it for low-power operations. At the same time, you've got current users of frequencies which fall even inside various TV channels, so things like wireless microphones. The entertainment industry makes extensive use of these various frequencies in UHF spectrum. And they're afraid that all this additional traffic on these digital channels are going to bleed over into their analog wireless microphones. Now, wireless microphones are used on movie shoots, in theaters, in concerts, even in surveillance operations. So, these persons see him as they claim the newer digital radios being software defined are aware of other signals on the frequency and steer clear of them, or whether they're just going to blatantly drop on top of them like the Winlink 2000 does on the HF amateur band. So, time will tell, but things could be quite interesting as we go forward, as the TV channel starts to use other purposes. And no, we have no idea what they're going to use VHF channels to sync for after they make the switch over. Right now, they are empty, or will be empty once everything goes digital. Alright, Bob, W2F22, what do we have in the email so far?
Absolutely nothing, Charlie. It's empty. So, unfortunately, nothing there. I just got in a little bit, so.
A little late, sorry about that.
Nothing really new to report here. Just, updating my 996 to 3.01. That seems to have, cured, some of the issues with 3.0, some of the minor bugs in there. And so far, it's working good.
Well, what kind of bugs were you getting, Bob?
The major bug was that with 3.0, some of the default values in the digital trunking modes were wrong. And it was defaulting to the auto mode. Now, the auto mode worked. For example, if I was copying Yonkers on the trunk system, of course, the screen channel, I'd get an error rate of somewhere between 10 and 12, which is kind of high. If I went to manual and tweaked it, I could get the error down to 1 or 2. So the biggest change that I see now is that in auto mode, on most systems, the error rate is as low in auto as it would be if you manually tweak it. I say most systems because that does not hold true, for example, Duquesne in Connecticut, which is about an S1 or S2 over here. In digital, you know, obviously they're crystal clear. And maybe because the signal is so weak, but the auto mode just doesn't cut it. I've got to manually tweak it there, and then they come through.
Okay. Well, did you hear that problem is finally fixed? Remember, you're seeing some comments about that over the past year where people were concerned about it's not quite working out.
So far, it's working okay. The update was fine. It went actually very, very quick. A lot of people, you know, keep saying they're having problems and this isn't working and that's not working. I haven't had any problems. The other thing is that Viettel supposedly is coming out with a new version of the 996 and 396 software that will make use of some of the added things that they've put into version 3.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. I know Viettel does a very good job as far as his software over the years. I have yet to hear any major complaints on the way they set things up. They seem to be very easy to use.
So far, it's working okay. So I'll do some testing and then playing around with it. But I like the radio. It really works very well. I couldn't imagine owning it without Viettel software. It's too difficult to program, too time-consuming. So I think if anyone is considering either a 396 or a 996, or for that matter, really any of the newer scanners, I really think you should factor in the price of the software. It works quite well. And Black Friday specials are coming up, Charlie. I did a Google on Black Friday, and there's a few things starting to pop up. I think maybe in another week or so we'll be able to talk about that some more. I got in here a little bit late. Did you receive that email I sent you about the bogus Coast Guard calls they've been getting? There's now going to be a federal investigation?
Yeah, I did see that. Why don't you elaborate on it, Bob?
Newsday had an article in it today
on, it seems the Coast Guard at Long Island is getting quite a few bogus calls. They had one guy was sinking on his boat, and, you know, basically distress calls and those sort of things, and it's been happening so much that there's now a federal investigation going in. And the article got pretty detailed, and it is really something that I think a lot of us lose sight of, and that is...
Well, it's not only that. You wind up wasting a lot of time and money. The actual cost of sending out a search party, by the Coast Guard, they send out their helicopters, send out their boats, they may call an action, some auxiliary units or a local police department. And the actual cost in fuel alone, especially over this past year, has been horrendous. And when I account for the time involved. So that alone gave the federal government a reason. I think it was about 10 years ago so far, they decided to if they ever caught the person, not only would they give them a regular fine and jail time, but they would also charge them the expense money for the fuel and time they were using.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I know we're aware of is that the Coast Guard has got several sites. Not only coastal sites, I'm trying to think what they used to call those, Charlie. You remember? Was it high sites? But there are several sites, not only coastal, but also inland. And what those sites are basically is triangulation. So, you know, if anybody's even thinking about keying up on there and trying to be cute or funny or whatever, virtually every Coast Guard office up and down the East Coast is tied into these. I think they call them high sites. And within a matter of seconds, they can get a pretty quick triangulation on a signal. VHF and UHF is pretty easy with the number of sites they have up and down the coast. It's pretty automated. I was reading an article about it, and they do this because, as stupid as it sounds, but you can have a pleasure boat in the United States, and the Coast Guard does not require you to have GPS. Right? You can get one for less than $100, and you would think that getting a license for your boat would require a GPS. Nope. So they put these things up instead.
And this is N21, I'll be with the show wave and scanner listeners net. And yes, Bob, it is called a high site. If anybody does a Google search for Rescue 21, that's the name of the Coast Guard program that will be building out their entire system. Now, a lot of people got confused when they heard Rescue 21. They thought, oh, there's going to be some type of digital link trunking system. No, it's not. It's just the name of a program that they are building up their system so there are less gaps between the towers. And in the process of doing this, it allows them to pinpoint through triangulation where the signal is coming from, but also which of the towers, which of the high-side towers to use, which are all linked to digital phone lines. So the command center, let's say here for New York City, is sitting over Coast Guard Base, Fort Wadsworth, in the command center. They could bring up whatever tower they want throughout their entire sector. And most likely, and I don't know if that's for sure, but most likely they could probably link them together so that First Southern region can talk to Fifth Northern, which is what takes from Sandy Hook and goes further south down to Philly. So all this is very easily linked together, all digital IP-based stuff in the background, but they can pinpoint exactly where that signal is coming from, the relative signal strength. It helps them to track down where they need to send help quicker. As you said, yes, it is kind of crazy that they're not requiring people, per se, to have GPS, their radios and all that, but that's starting to change. The newer marine band radios have the ability to have a GPS receiver connected to it, and each radio is registered in the federal database, what they call the MMSI number. And when somebody hits the red emergency button on the front of that video, if it's connected to your GPS receiver, it immediately starts spitting out a data stream with latitude and longitude where that boat is. One of the other things that's going on is each state is deciding to license people to actually investigate a boat on the state waterway. Connecticut, I believe, did it first in this area. New Jersey did it last year. New York is in the process. So you would have to take a state voting court and actually get a license from the state that says, yes, you have gone through this, you understand what it takes to actually pilot a boat, and then you'll be able to take it out of the water. Because if you're caught with a boat on the water and you don't have a license for it, then they can, you know, confiscate it and arrest you and all that. So it's something that's in process, and each state has to decide how they want to handle this. But it's already popping up around all around us. So, between those two things, Bob, making sure that voters know what they're talking about and can actually demonstrate it and have the proper equipment on board, it'll make voting safer for a lot of people.
Yeah, you mentioned about the licensing. I have a friend of mine that goes fishing a lot down in Sandy Hook. He was mentioning now, he says, if you got a boat with paddles, you don't need a license. He says, if you put any suspension on it, whether it's electric or gas or whatever, if you got to register. And I kind of chuckled and said, yeah, who's enforcing it? He looked at me and he said, the last 3 weekends, people out there, a guy, on Sunday, he told me to go out of the water. He said,
yeah, they're taking it very, very seriously now. Because there's just too many people out on the water. And a lot of commercial traffic as well as pleasure boats. And they have to get a handle on this. Yeah, just because somebody had, you know, an extra $20,000, $40,000 to buy themselves boats to go out on the water, and they become not only dangerous to themselves, but dangerous to people. And no one can hold the boats, they never, you know, they didn't put radios on their boats, they did not use them. So this is an ongoing struggle for the Coast Guard trying to handle. And that's why the announcement in different areas that the local Coast Guard auxiliary flotilla will actually give safe boat classes. So these people have been jumping all over it, especially like New Jersey last year. Because you said, all right, you have a deadline, you got to get it done now, and all of a sudden it came out of the woodwork, and just take photos of it.
But if they're doing that, I fully support it. It's very, very easy. You go out on a nice day on the ocean, people think, oh, it's calm out, but, I mean, literally in a few minutes you're out there, half a mile offshore, and you get really, really nasty, so it's for your own protection. Anyway, that's about it from this side, Charlie. You got nothing on the email, and rather a quiet weekend. In spite of the election. By the way, I listened to those frequencies that you sent me. I didn't hear that much. Have you had? Did you get any other feedback? I mean, was that something that was reported by other people as being active?
No, I have not seen any reports of being active, but that was exactly the system that those radios were on. I confirmed it myself with close call. Please.
So what was the switch from the traditional method of communication? What prompted that?
Well, the perennial problem itself. So they walked away from that and went in this direction.
I'm sorry, are you saying what happened?
The perennial problem with Nextel. So they dropped Nextel and went in this direction. Now, unfortunately, when I went to listen to it myself, it's not that strong of a system, so I wasn't able to pick up the data channel here at my house. Now, I can pick it up in Manhattan with no problem when I'm at work, but just can't pick up the data channel here at the house. Still committing news on the tree.
Hey, I know, but I'm in past years, I mean, it was mostly supported by the amateur community, correct?
No, it is. This was something else.
Oh, okay. All right, I misunderstood it. I was understanding you was that it was a total switchover.
I got you.
Okay. Back over to you, and go back into a email mode here. I'm looking at some other things.
WA question, thank you. Okay, Bob, well, that doesn't mean it won't be a total switchover in future years. That's the old back of mine. Anyway. All right, time now is 9:31 local time. Let's stand by for any additional check-ins. Any comments or questions, please give a call with your call sign, name, location, and whether you have traffic or not. This is M12A.
This is KC2UDJ. Name is Tom from New Jersey.
W2LIE with traffic.
Kilo Charlie 2, Bravo Tango Tango, KC2BTT, Don, Bronx, New York, no traffic.
Okay, W2LA, I have you with traffic, stand by please. The station in New Jersey, was that KC2 Uniform Golf Juliet, or did I get that wrong?
No, KC2UGJ, Uniform Delta Jacob.
Uniform Delta Juliet?
That's correct. No traffic.
Okay. And we also have KC2BTT. Anybody else? Okay. Well, first off, I want to say welcome and congratulate KC2DJ for his license, but just issued. So welcome to that. And let's see. Bill, why don't you go with your traffic? W2LIE,
that's one of me. Alright, thanks, Charlie. Good evening, everybody in the net. I'm going to get short, and I got a hot Steinhardt sitting next to me. This weekend, Radio Shack did the Friends and Family discount. They're going to talk about the Black Friday ads and what's going on sale early. From now until the 14th of November, which is the Friday after this Friday, 10% off of everything online, $25 more. I was able to use that coupon and stack it on a $50 off on a scanner, saving about $60 or so on a radio. That's in addition to the Pro 2096 I got on 30% off as well. But the promo code, if you buy online and you add to your cart, you add the code of Foxtrot Romeo November, Foxtrot Mary 10. That's Foxtrot Romeo November, Foxtrot Mary 10. It'll knock 10% off. And I can also agree with Bob that the Q-Tel software, I believe, is the best one out there. That is all I have for the week. Charlie, back to you. W2LA.
Okay, Bob. Thanks for bringing that one. Hey, 10%, 10%. It saves the tax and stuff. So, yeah, we can see this. Hopefully everybody can find it in their wallet, not their heart, to stretch a little bit. Has been a rough economy lately. All of us have lost something. I know plenty of people have lost 30, 40% off their IRAs. It's been rough. We'll do the best we can. Okay. Let's see. I have nothing else here. Bob, anything in email? Otherwise, we'll wrap it up. Okay. All right. Once again, we're looking for people to submit information on two different areas. One is stores and malls, so that Bob can update the listing so that we can send it out to you. So if you do get dragged around by your significant other and you're sitting around waiting for them to finish their shopping experience, bring your radio along with you and actually listen to things behind the scenes. So if you have any updates from our list, you can find the links on my website, x1lb.net. I've got one for New York City, and Justin, K2GIK on his BergenScanner.com site has the one for New Jersey stuff, which is a link to my site going back to him. So look at them. If there are any updates that you feel that we have to put in or any new things, please drop us an email at nydxa@yahoo.com. If we can get that compiled as quickly as possible and send it back out to everybody. and also the other area of interest is anything federal related. In the VHF and UHF bands in the Tri-State area, anything that you have, if you'd like to submit, if you want us to give you credit for it, we'll do that. If you want to remain anonymous, we can do that too. But share the information, because there's a lot of questions lately, especially with those who have been picking up the newer scanners that do the APCO 25 capability. So as Phil said, you know, the new 2096 and the JACAT 396 I just got 2 months ago. You know, there's a lot of new stuff coming around, and some people are brand new to the hobby. Some have just gotten one of the new trunking digital scanners and finding stuff. They don't know what it is. So if you have information, please share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Because there's information you have that somebody else shared that allows you to have it. So spread it around a little bit. Don't spread the wealth, just spread the information. 7-3 for now, we'll catch you next week. And 1-0-B.